This episode is brought to you by Crooked Path Forge. This is Find a Way. Welcome to part two of my conversation with Ian Bueller. We pick up right where we left off in part one and dive into new topics, such as Bueller Design, the company Ian started with his brother Arian and has done design work for bands such as Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, the Bob Marley Estate, and more. We discuss parenting, our dreams for our children, and the challenges of expanding ourselves as we age. Also, Ian considers going to a twin convention, but I doubt that one will pan out. Thanks for finding your way here today. Enjoy.
That overrides anything. I don't care how smart you are or how talented you are. If you don't have the drive and the passion, you're not going to succeed in the same way. You're just not.
And I don't think, yeah, like you can't fake that.
You can't.
And it can't just be like a wish from a genie. It's not like you can't wish for a thing and work for it.
Right.
But when it comes to putting your thought toward a thing that you're set on, I think that prepares yourself, your body to do that thing.
Right.
Like I think that's the function of the brain. That's
right.
The function of visualization in general is to prepare yourself to do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like
for
a rock
action,
climber.
For the action of doing whatever it is. Right.
That's why, you know, a rock climber looks at the face of the mountain that they're getting ready to climb.
Right.
Visualizing like, okay, that's where I'm going to put my hand there and I'm going
to
do that. You know, maybe you don't want to be making those decisions when you're like 400 feet up in the air.
Right.
You know, you probably want to have a bit of a plan going in ahead of time. I think this was Michelangelo who would stare at the block of marble for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody asks, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sculpting. You
right.
know, and then chip, you know, the first
yeah,
one.
I've read something about him too, saying it was like, well, David was in there. I was just releasing it. Like, well, yeah, but
sure.
it also takes time and preparation and practice and
right.
skill and all those things. It didn't just happen.
Right.
Right.
You could have also, I mean, like there could have been like a giant Wang in there too that
right.
you released.
Or
you know, like
or I could spend the equal amount of time carving it away and it looks like shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like
exactly.
it's multifaceted, right? It's
right.
not.
But there's a certain, I think, there's that moment again, though, of release. You know, there's that moment again of staring at the block and your perception of your ability to release something beautiful has got this like negative thrown in there. You know, like I'm going to release this piece of shit that's in this marvel. And I think that there has to be an allowance for you to see the beauty in that piece of shit that you carve out of it, you know,
I guess so. I mean, sure. I mean, I think that there's like a general consensus when something is either works or doesn't work or is good or is not as good, you know,
yeah.
like, so that's what I mean by that. Like,
yeah. General consensus though is not objective though. It's just general, right?
Right.
It's like and so, if your goal is to please the general public,
right,
then there's going to be a response that is generally, you know, accurate.
Right.
But as far as like, that's what I kind of mean when this moment, this split second before I try to sing a harmony that I'm a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm going to get this. If I don't just release myself from the responsibility of being perfect.
Right.
If I don't do it, I won't do it. I almost guarantee failure.
Right.
But if I just let go and belt it out, I've got a really good chance of hitting that note. And if I don't, I think there's a quality to the missed note that is better. You know, there's
sure.
like, I think I'd rather see somebody really passionately
it's like
be
genuine,
bad.
It's like the woman in your church. There's a genuineness to
yes.
that deserves appreciation.
Yeah.
Just because it is so genuine.
And that's what I like.
And losing yourself in that moment is, you know, like I said, for me, it's, I really appreciate it because it's something I'm not comfortable with at all.
But you're getting more comfortable.
I'm trying.
And you're, well, that's one of the things that I've enjoyed seeing, like, you know, I mentioned seeing you open up personally and push yourself with certain aspects of your personality, but it's being reflected in your art as well, because I've seen you, like, since I've known you, you've been a wonderful photographer and you do a lot of wildlife photography and you do a lot of like astral, like photography, mm-hmm. the sky, the night skies. And, seeing you go and like recently more so, at least in my experience, I could be off on this, but seeing you incorporate more of your photography into your design work and like seeing you get creative with like setting up a whole scene to take a picture so that you can manipulate that picture later. But like the choices I imagine you making with like, one of the things I'm thinking about is the skull mm-hmm. stuff that you did, where you could have just taken a picture of a skull and then used Photoshop and Illustrator to create all these crazy effects.
Right.
But instead you like went through all this meticulous work to like make the skull a certain color and to put certain textures on it,
right,
and to
the lighting, right.
The lighting and different items in the picture with it to capture the light. And,
right.
And like, then you created effects and then you messed with the filters I'm throwing out words that I think go into this kind of work.
Those are accurate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
but that's putting yourself out there in a way that feels like I'm going to put in all this work to do this thing, and it could suck. It could right. like be really bad, but if I half-ass it, it's definitely going to be bad.
Sure. Yeah. I appreciated taking my own time doing it and making it genuine and an original piece of art, as opposed to something like pulling stuff from Shutterstock or one of those
right.
stock
right.
places that you can get a piece here and a piece there and then assemble your own thing. I didn't want to do any of that. I wanted to make these things my own thing. And so I wanted to explore more with my photography and my graphic design incorporated together to create something that was original.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the cityscapes that you were doing, you did that series of pictures of like the mountains and like ocean and the moon and
right.
the sun and, or the moon, I guess.
Oh, off all my photography you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's like graphic design, graphic sort of presentation of my photography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I that stuff is just so fun. It's such a, and it's not like it, I like it because it seems to be this marriage between two of your artistic passions.
Yeah, thanks.
And it's like taking a chance, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a job for so many years, you know, as a screen printer and designer. And I felt very limited by the job itself and what it allowed me to do and what was sort of asked of me to do in that position. It was just a limiting scope of design. And so I think now that I've gone to freelance over the past like 5 years, it's allowed me to explore a whole lot more technique and style and try to learn a whole lot more and just find a way through it that is much more rewarding to me. Whether it's a success or not, you know, as far as getting approvals from the clients that I'm sending them to, that matters for sure. But it's clearly not everything, because I enjoy doing the work, period. And so, and like I said, it allows me to grow a whole lot more and just explore way more design, you know, techniques and styles. And there's just so much to pull from, so much to create that I never really did before. So,
yeah. Well, and it's such a shift too, you know, your screen printing job seemed to be a place where, you know, okay, you're a talented artist in residence here, and you'd have clients contact the screen printing company and say things like, you know, do these butterflies for me.
Right.
And like, you'd have to find a way to match the aesthetic that they want for these stupid fucking butterflies.
Yeah, well, I thought, like, my initial thought was like, all right, so what goes with blue hair, an old lady's blue hair? Like, can I, if I can make that, if it'll go with blue hair, it'll probably be a success.
That's so good. But, like, for you, you know, you and your brother Arian started Bueller Design and, like, totally shifted that dynamic where you're still getting people reaching out saying, like, I want this kind of thing, but you're doing the opposite now, where you're really emphasizing your style and saying, like, here's what we do. And I know that it's harder and it's scarier, because
it's way more rewarding though,
right? Because you're getting like, you've done work for the Bob Marley Estate, for Foo Fighters, for Guns N' Roses, for Jimi Hendrix Estate. Like, didn't you guys even do like a Beatles design for officially licensed Beatles merch? Yeah. And like,
so I mean, most of this stems from my brother's long pursuit of freelance design in the music world. And so he's the one that really kicked it off and established himself as a prominent freelancer in that world.
Yeah.
And then I kind of jumped on much later and we teamed up off of his success, because he's been so versatile and successful in all that different design work that it allowed me to then, you know, explore the same avenues as him, but we were able to do it as a team, so there's a little more diversity in that now as well. So it really stems back from his like, you know, 15 years of grinding.
Totally. I mean, certainly the position in the industry, for sure. I get that. I if you don't mind me pushing back a little bit,
I don't think
this takes away from Arian's talent at all, but like, you guys have been, first of all, you're twins, so you've grown up together, like, in real time, you know, same development times and everything like that.
Right.
You've been artists together collaborating since the beginning.
Yeah, totally.
So, I mean, I guess, like, one of the things that always makes me a little defensive for you when it comes to how quickly you point to Arian as being like, well, you know, Arian, he's the one. You're right that he's the one who sort of, like, has built up this momentum in the industry. But as far as your talents are concerned, like, you guys kind of helped each other develop talent and, like, collaborate and also probably compete and, you know,
sure,
like, pushing each other. You guys have... aside from your own artistic endeavors, like with your own art, you also have a huge passion, a shared passion for, like, cars and for like lots of different kinds of designs. You are really students of design and not just, you know, not just visual design, but like furniture design and like interior design and automotive design and things like that. And music as well, like, and the sort of like finding ways to marry, like, here's this sound and here's what this sound looks like on paper, you know?
Right.
And that I think is, that is something that makes you both so unique in this industry, I think, in that, like, I don't know, this team up that you've got is, you are each other's own yin and yang in a lot of ways.
Well, like, yeah, yeah.
You're very different from each other.
Sure.
And you, like, together, I think you guys really, I don't know, I've seen a lot of Arian's work that he does on his own, and I've seen a lot of your work that you do on your own, and then I see a lot of the stuff that you guys collaborated with, like with the Guns N' Roses stuff, and like, that really... that there's that difference there. It's like heightened, or like a lot of the work that you guys did for the Rockville tour, like, that stuff was killer.
Thanks.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah. And we collaborate on it, and we also do it independently, and then, like, I'll have an idea and he'll have an idea and we'll both execute, and then we'll talk to each other after the execution. Like, all right, well, what do you think
sure.
about this and that, and should I change this or should I change that, or what do you think the strengths or the weaknesses are? And so that those collaborations are really helpful in that way, because we are a lot alike, but we are different. And so, you know, I'm always going to bring something. I might see something that he doesn't see and vice versa. Yeah. And so I think that there's, it's always better to have that, you know, to have more sets of eyes on something than just your own singular thing, especially if you're, we're not talking about fine art, you know what I mean? It's not like something where I'm just doing this for my own personal expression. It's not that it's, there's personal expression in it, yeah. But it also is to communicate whoever your clients are, to communicate part of their vision as well. And so I think that, we've both been successful at that. I think we were successful at it in different ways too, because Arian's really, really versatile and has had a ton of success in that versatility, because he's had like Katy Perry's number one shirts on her tour, and then Tim McGraw's number one shirts on his tour, and then the Rolling Stones and the Grateful Dead, some, and then Guns N' Roses, all these very, you know, Bob Marley, all these very diverse musicians. And then like, I've had a fair amount of success. Him and I both have had a fair amount of success with like the Backstreet Boys, like, which is a totally, the total departure from those other things. And so bringing the, all those, bringing the different, the two different aspects of our design aesthetics and the similarities of them, I think combined to hopefully make something that people want.
Yeah. Well, and you, you also just like while we're like dropping some names here, you also just had like the main, the primary tour shirt for Foo Fighters.
I don't know if it was the primary tour shirt.
It was the only one.
It was that, one of the, yeah, it was okay. One out of probably five.
Yeah.
Which was cool, really cool. I mean,
yeah,
that was,
that's fucking
that
awesome.
Opportunity is really, really fun to get the, get to try to get the design for them. And hopefully you, it, in a lot of ways, it's, it's kind, you know, you do get briefs from the client or from their management, and you hope that you strike a nerve, right? Mm-hmm. Because you are kind of sending it off into this, off into this black hole that you hope you hear back from, because sometimes you do and sometimes you don't.
Right.
And so there's a lot of guesswork that goes into it. There's a lot of research that goes into it too.
Yeah.
It starts with research, really, more than guesswork. You know, you research as much as you can as to what you think is going to work, is going to work for said band. And then hopefully you hit the chord in the right way, because there's not, no pun intended with that, but
no,
because
there's, perfect.
Because there's, you don't really know, right? Like, and also styles change, right? And so that's something you have to try to stay ahead of as well.
Yeah.
But sometimes you might push it too far, and then those things don't work, you know, and you just try to put forth the best work you can that you think is going to speak to the client. Like with any design, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, but in this world, I think it's slightly different because it's so rapidly changing, and it's also based on a lot of personal taste. As opposed to something like maybe package design, or, you know, something that's not as maybe ultra specific to the, like, say Dave Grohl. I don't know if he's making the decisions or not, but it has to speak to the band directly. And if it doesn't, it's out.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and that might change from year to year, depending on the tour or what they're into that year or what is cool or what's not cool, you know.
But I think that there's still a lot of you in it. Like, I know there's, like, for example, with the shirt you designed for Foo Fighters, one of the main features of the design is the devil in the middle of it.
Right.
And I remember you telling me that, you know, you picked that because of that Foo Fighters video for, what's the song where Dave Grohl's the devil in it?
Well, I mean, in Tenacious D, he plays the devil.
That's what it is.
Yeah, he's a devil drummer, like, to have that drum off.
Yes.
Right.
And
I think it's in Pick of Destiny, the movie.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, so I can, you know, you, that made an impression on you way before you were ever designing a shirt for
Foo
Fighters.
Yeah, that's true.
It just stood out for you, right? So, like, you get this chance to design a shirt for a band that you really respect, for right. especially for a guy you really respect.
Right.
And like, I can see you light up with the ideas, you know, and thinking like, you know, I can see you making that connection with him dressed up as that goofy looking devil guy and saying like, I'm going to design a shirt that features that.
Yeah. You know? And hopefully it speaks to him. Right. Like that.
So that's like you, like, that's like the Ian filter for Foo Fighters. You know, this is Foo Fighters through Ian Buehler's.
Right. I guess. Yeah. That's, know, a, filter. That's, an, yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I like that. And, you know, and that goes back to like Bob Marley, and I've only designed a couple things for Bob Marley, and my brother's done tons.
Right.
And he had so much success with that, I think, because of our history with Jamaica. And so he was able to pull from that. And I think it allowed him to have all this inspiration to put into those designs that, you know, some other people might not have had that same perspective. And so his personal experience was allowed him to pull, you know, he's able to pull from that, all that personal experience.
As a side note, as long as you're up for it, you know, I think we have to do a whole episode on your experience growing up in Jamaica. You just kind of like throw it in there like, oh, because of our experience in Jamaica. It's like, that's a whole story in itself, like growing up in Jamaica, the reason why you're growing up in Jamaica, like all that stuff is, you know. And you're right, though, that gave you such a unique perspective, not just on art and design and things like that, but also just like culture. And I think it's a big I think it's a big part of like who you are. You know, we're talking about you in the beginning of this. You're talking about how like you're reserved, you kind of hold back, you don't put yourself out there so much. You growing up in Jamaica, like in a community where you're the minority and like being viewed as like an outsider so much, like, of course that's going to make you sort of change. That's going to shape your personality.
I think there's definitely part of that.
Then you come back to this like maniac mansion of a country,
right?
You know, and it's like, of course you're going to hold back a little bit. Like, I don't know if I want to know these people.
I mean, that experience was a defining experience. And I think, I think about myself talking to people about it, like, oh, let me guess, the people that I know well, and they're like, oh, you're going to bring up Jamaica again? Like, There was a whole bunch of, I got a lot out of that, even though at the time I was not all that into it because I was younger. And like, it was an experience that was so, so different that I didn't appreciate it at the time so much. There's parts of it that I did, but there's lots of it that I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the nature of childhood.
Right.
And that's that nature of, it's sort of what we were talking about in the very beginning, is like when you have a thing that is significant and you don't recognize its importance until it's gone.
Right.
That is sort of life's cruel but super effective fertilizer for growth.
Sure.
You know, like, it just
in me not appreciating it, I ended up appreciating it within probably 3 or 4 years after leaving. I was wait a second, I kind of understand I'm getting what the importance of that, I've never lost that. I still fully appreciate it today and go back as much as I can, and and so it was fundamental. And I think that happens. I mean, I'm sure that can happen in all kinds of different scenarios. This one just happened to be my thing, and it was very impactful because it was so different and so sort of unique for a number of reasons. But so I think there's a lot that my brother and I both pulled a whole lot from that.
Of course.
Yeah.
You guys have a unique and genuine dynamic that I think that I respond really well to, you know, that I enjoy seeing in the art that you make and like the stuff that you get into. I don't know. It's just, it's fun to, I enjoy relationships that have a lot of unspoken understanding between them. So I think, you know, you and your brother naturally have that.
Yeah. I mean, I think being identical twins, it's just, at least for us, it's part of it. We never really explored the twin thing all that much as far as
No, it's never playing, felt like that.
Playing tricks on people or like right. going to twin conventions or any of that shit. Right. We never did any of that, but there's...
I cannot imagine you guys going to a twin convention.
Yeah, me neither. There's part of me that thinks it would be fun. And there's other parts of me that are like, this is super weird. Like, I don't get it at all.
Yeah, that is not your vibe.
Yeah. So, but if I'm talking about trying to grow and push myself, maybe that's part
okay,
of it.
Okay, that's a good point. Say yes.
Right, exactly. So, I think there is an understanding that we have that's sort of, that is definitely unspoken. We have so many interests that are the same as well. And so, yeah. we're in a lot of ways, we're like part of each other. I mean, when my mom was pregnant with us, they thought it was one kid because we share the same exact heart rhythm. So,
wow.
So they were clearly part of each other. And I think that continues. We're almost 50 and it continues to this day. Yeah. You know, when we talk, I don't know, at least 4 times a week probably. And yeah. You know, we're super close. And so, but we're super close in a lot of ways that are unspoken too. Like you were saying, like yeah. that we don't have to tell each other all the how much I love you and all right. those things all the time. It kind of is just understood.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think one of the things I meant to mention when you were talking about working together as artists is I feel like there's a difference between, I experience this just with friends that I might make art with or for. It changes the way I do it because I'm thinking of this. So I imagine you sitting down to make a design for Guns N' Roses and knowing that like you're going to send this to Arian and Arian's going to send you something back too.
Right.
That's an element of the design. That's an element of your inspiration, knowing that that person's going to see it. Same thing for me if I'm making music or if I'm like I've challenged myself to try to do a portrait of each person that I interview.
Yeah, I like them.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to get a little bit better. There's a lot of ones that I throw away that are really bad.
I mean, that's part of it, right?
Yeah. the person, knowing that the person I'm drawing is not only going to be represented to whoever's listens to this
right.
by this portrait, but also that they're going to see it and they're going to see like what I conjured up for them.
So hey, here I have a request.
Yeah,
if you do one of me,
yeah,
can you put out the worst one, the one that you think is the worst? I want to see that. That's the one I want to see.
Okay,
the one you like, one you like the least.
It might just be the first one I do that.
Whatever.
I won't do any more after that.
I just want to see the one you like the least.
I was actually thinking about getting abstract with yours, like doing like more like caricature.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm that talented.
What? It doesn't matter.
I think all of, if I tried to draw you as accurately as possible, I might just tell you, this is a caricature.
Figure drawing's hard.
Yeah, it is really hard.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge.
It is. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what it was. It was another thing that felt like a moment to say yes to a challenge. I don't know where the challenge came from. It was after my conversation with Mike O'Malley. And I was just left with this feeling like, yeah, I should push myself a little I'm pushing myself to do this podcast in the first place. I should find other ways to push myself, you
sure.
know, and I'm enjoying like doing music for the transitions and the opening. And
I knew that. I figured that I hadn't asked you, but I knew that it had to be your music. Why? It wouldn't be anybody else's.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's,
totally. Yeah. I like it.
Well, I don't have the rights to anybody else's.
Well, yeah. Right. but even if you did, what's the point? You
yeah,
can do it all yourself and you should do it. I mean, this is all your thing. So absolutely. Like I said, that's why I didn't even ask whether that was your, yeah. I knew it was your music, which
thanks.
Is it's a great, another great addition to it.
Thanks.
To this whole thing.
Thanks. Yeah. I like it too. It feels more personal that way.
Totally.
And it's just more fun.
Really?
That is the main thing. It's, you know, I love obsessing over the portraits, you know,
right.
and like sitting there for hours sometimes doing this little like 3x5 portrait.
Right.
And starting over and doing it again and starting over and doing it again. And like with the music, I love like kind of rooting through my memory and trying to either think of something that I've already written that fits or like just doing a little something that fits anyways.
Do you just wing it?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cause like what's fun is like, sometimes I'll be listening back to the interview and I'll like something starts playing in my head. And
right.
Like, so I was like, that's, that, I guess that's got to go here.
Right.
You know?
That's the
and
thing that goes with this. Right.
It just feels, cool. It's just fun. I really, I don't know. I really enjoy it a lot. And I think that is supposed to be more the drive to do stuff like this. You know, it would be great if I could like make enough, if I could make some sort of living doing something like this, it
totally.
Would be really cool. Especially if I got to continue doing it just like this, where it's just, you know, I don't have any agenda.
Right. Just a conversation with people you want to have a conversation with.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, it feels, I feel really motivated because I think that this is, again, part of my lesson that I learned long ago is like the best stuff is stuff that's bigger than me. You
right.
know, like, because I am so very small, you know, I mean, like,
not physically.
I'm a large man, but I am like, my significance is not contingent upon what I put out. I think it's more like what I appreciate, you know, and that's been really taking over for me for a long time now in Gainesville, this realization that this is like a pocket of something really special.
Well, I think becoming friends with you is, I mean, I've been here for a long time and I don't love Gainesville. I don't dislike it, but it's not, but I think becoming friends with you over the past 12 or so years,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Has allowed me to appreciate this town more because of the people that you're, because of the community that you're involved with. I know I wouldn't be going to the bowl and experiencing the things that I've experienced there and if it wasn't for being friends with you. So I think that it's allowed me to appreciate this town and its community more that clearly you appreciate as much as you do.
Yeah, thanks.
I think
you and I, one of the great aspects of our friendship is like the give and take that we get, you know, like, and then just the moments where we're not thinking about anything and just like playing some cards or,
sure.
you know, like
rollover.
Dinner, or playing rollover.
Yeah.
You and Amy with freaking rollover.
It's Amy, really.
I don't know. I mean, you also got in like your first round. Those of you who don't know, rollover is a dice playing game. And, I'm of course not going to try to explain the rules to you on this episode, but there's a tough initial aspect of the game where you have to get in by getting a certain amount of points. And both Ian and Amy got in like immediately.
And it's
the
not
the first time we played.
I will say this though. That is true, but it has zero to do with skill.
Does it though? Because you guys are consistently really good.
Yeah, but it's
what?
I don't know.
Just because we don't understand it.
True. Okay. I'll give
there's
you that.
There's something about it. I mean, like, Amy, I think the first game rolled a straight, which is when you roll a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got 6 die and you roll 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It took me, I've been playing this game since I was like 10 years old. It took me probably 10 years before I got a straight.
Right. And I think within like the third or fourth time of playing it, she got all
ones.
Yeah. Which is
right.
Like,
it was even
hard.
More. That's right. Only happened once in the history of my family. My Aunt Lynn got all ones once. Anyways, you guys have a little something special about you, which, you know, no surprise, I absolutely love.
And I hope Amy does a conversation with you. Cause
me too.
She's the best.
She immediately
was like, oh, I don't have anything to say.
I don't have anything to say.
Right,
Ian's the one who's got something to say.
You know, like, no. Amy's hilarious. She's great in so many ways.
She is. And she's got a lot to say.
Totally.
And like, she cracks me up.
Yeah.
She cracks me up. She's just, she's the best.
Yeah, she is.
Well, yeah. Well, definitely want to have Amy on, but also I want you to come back and I have some ideas actually that I want to run by you as far as this goes. So,
okay.
Also before we finish, I also have to acknowledge along with your long list of design attributes or not attributes,
contributions.
There you go. And like clients that you work for. You also have helped me many times with designs. You designed like one of my favorite Shitty Beatles shirts that ever existed.
Nice.
And Shitty Beatles poster. And you've helped me with a ton of things. Significantly to this podcast, you also like helped me realize the design for this podcast as well. Yeah, the logo. Like you saw what I was trying to do and made it real. And then, you know, I tried to like recreate it the best I could.
No, I think you did a good job. I like it.
But I might one day ask for an actual commission to like make it legit. You've always been like really, you've always been very generous with your time and your effort and your talent. And I really,
I mean, it's something I want to, I want to share with you in particular, because you're very inspiring in a lot of ways. And I think that a lot of the things that you are, pushing yourself to do, I want to be a part of. Yeah. So
I want you to be a part of it too.
Part of it's selfish, but
yeah. Well, once we get some capital, we're gonna move forward with some of our business ideas. Well, we've got a couple of products.
We do. Hopefully my daughter, you know, going to design school will be able to, you know, maybe she'll be able to bring something to the table too.
And I really wanted to insert some conversation about Ella going away to school. She just left for New York to go to Pratt, which is like fucking phenomenal and totally deserved. And there were so many times where I thought like, I want to like bring this up here and bring this up there. And it would have like disrupted like a really good flow that we had going. So it just didn't happen. So that's another thing that we're definitely going to have to talk about again, just because like it's Ella, I think, is a great example of, oh my God, I have so much to say about you guys and Ella.
Well, we can keep going if you have time. It's fine.
I just think it deserves like a whole episode. Like,
okay.
I'm so, you and Amy were some of the first parents that I was very close to who were like sort of close to my own age.
Right.
And I shouldn't say some of the first, but some of the first ones that I really identified with and really felt, you guys really wowed me with your style of parenting and like how you worked with Ella and like spoke to her like an adult and treated her with like the respect you would give adults. And I remember that really blowing my mind early on in our relationship and seeing how effective it was. It really, as a teacher, it really helped me put into perspective some things. And seeing you guys, you know, take her up to New York this past week and send her off to this like one of the top institutions in the world for design after having this lifetime, her lifetime of this style of parenting, was like such a great endorsement. This is what happens when you let a kid be her own person and have her own opinions and have her own inspiration, but also like you introduce her to so much and you expose her to so much different art, and like it obviously works. It obviously pays off. She's doing it. She's totally gonna help us move forward with our like harebrained ideas that we've got.
I mean, I appreciate all that. I mean, you know, it's been the thing I've taken more seriously than anything, and taken more and put more effort into anything as being her father. And so like there's a lot of, you know, we're just super excited for her to be, you know, embarking on this endeavor that she wants to, you know, this is mainly about her. It's not really,
of course,
not so much about us. You know,
that's like the whole point.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't like force anything onto her other than just saying like, you're going to be exposed to some different stuff.
Right.
That was
the main thing. Like, let's travel and let's do all these things, and you're going to be part of all of it. And we're not going to leave you at home while we go to Sandals in Jamaica so we can have a none of that.
You guys going to Sandals is very funny to me.
It's none of that. So it was like, you're going to be part of all this.
Yeah.
And so, because that's what my mother did.
Right.
Yeah. And so.
And it worked.
Yeah. I you know, there's parts of it that I think depend on who your kid comes out as too, because there's not, you know, that's a whole other conversation, but I think that we figured, you know, we sort of, I think we kind of understood the kid Ella was hopefully going to be.
Sure.
not hopefully going to be.
She's going to change, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're taking the chances that we did, and that with parenting, with her as her person, worked, as opposed to like maybe taking those chances with a kid that was a different person might not have worked as well. It's hard to say.
Yeah, you would have reacted differently, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I think that there needs to be that initial curiosity. You know, the it's not like a one-sided conversation.
Not at all.
The kid, you know, Ella, from the time that I knew her, which was when she
five
was
or
like
six.
Five or six?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the very beginning, very passionate artist. I remember having full-on conversations with her very young age, like five or six,
right.
Wanting to hear everything she thinks about, you know, this and that, and like looking at the drawings that she's doing and hearing about the music that she's singing. And
right. That's
what you're reacting to. This kid wants more stuff. This kid wants to know stuff. She
right. Wants
to hear things. She wants to be exposed to different ideas. And now you've got this like very passionate, very justice-oriented artist who's in New York City, her right. Dream that she's had for a long time,
yeah.
And, you know, I think she's well-equipped for blossoming into whatever is next for her. You know,
yeah,
it's this constant metamorphosis.
Yeah, and we're super excited for her. Like I said, it's much more about her, because we've had a number of questions recently been like, so how is it with the empty nest thing? And I'm like,
yeah.
I've said to a number of people that I would be... It's great, actually. And what I mean by that is we have sent her off. She's gone off to this thing that she's super excited about. And so then, therefore, we're really excited about it for her.
Yes.
She's not here, and that's sad, but it's not really about us. It's about her. And I think I would be much sadder for her if she was, like, staying here and going to the community college and didn't want to do that at all. If she wanted to do that, that's fine.
Sure.
But that's not what she wanted. So I would feel... I'd be bummed if that was the case, as opposed to her being, you know, 1,500 miles away in a, in a big, scary city.
Right.
You know, like, that's way more... That's what she wants. So can we facilitate that? And if we can, then the empty nest thing is... All I'm doing is looking forward to getting texts and calls from her about what she's up to,
what
she's learned in class, and then going to New York and seeing her and seeing how she's grown. And it's all about that. It's not about Amy and I sitting at home feeling sad about her, you know, like
no. There's
part of that, but it's far outweighed by the excitement of it all.
Well, it's the good sad. Like, it's like
good
sad that we were talking about in the beginning,
right?
You know, it's like, it's inevitable. And
it's what it's supposed to, it's what you hope will happen, right?
Yeah.
I don't want her to, like, be stuck at home. And to be honest with you, after being in New York, you know, going to college in New York, in a lot of ways, I hope she doesn't move back here for her own sake, unless she wants to. If she wants to, and she feels like she can carve her thing out here, that's great.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot more to see. And so maybe, hopefully, she'll continue to explore.
That's what I mean. And like, you guys have been able to explore from here as well. And,
right.
And I think, again, like what you're talking about is that, like, there, and it's one of the things I'm kind of pushing back against in Gainesville in particular, because it's a small town, we assume that it doesn't have the sophistication or it doesn't have it doesn't have the capacity for the kind of sophistication that New York City does,
right? Right.
Things like that. And obviously we don't have the population for it, and we don't have the capacity in the sense that, like, we can fit all that a place like New York City does.
Right.
Not at all. But I do think this place has the potential for awakening and
it definitely
does. And inspiration.
Sure.
And I think that takes a special kind of artist. And I think maybe one of the things that makes Gainesville so special is that I think we've got a bunch of those special artists who somehow are finding that inspiration and somehow are starting to blossom and bloom.
Right. Oh, maybe she could bring some of the stuff that she'd learned from there back here. If she, like I said, if she wants. Right. And this is her hometown, and there's mixed emotions about hometowns for people that,
of course,
you know, like,
well, and I don't think from my conversations with her, that's not her plan. To come back here.
I don't think it is.
You know, but
it might happen, and that's good. If she wants to, that's fine. Like, and it's good for her.
And I think that's the ultimate sign of truly being self-realized, is not letting the stuff that you said once dictate what you do now.
Right.
You know,
totally.
If Ella has said to me, you know, yeah, I don't want to be in my hometown. That's great. Go.
Right.
That's what feels right right now.
Right.
You know, and if one day it feels different, you're welcome back. And it's not like tail between the legs.
Right.
It's
you just
like,
can't come move home with and back home.
Well, with that being said,
I'm kidding.
No, I think that's exactly right. There we go. I would love to do this again.
Yeah, I'd love to have another conversation.
Cool. Well, thanks for
another
this
recorded
one.
Conversation.
That's right. Yeah, right. Only with microphones.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to talk to you otherwise.
Frankly, I'm uninterested. I am hungry. I think maybe
so
we should go eat lunch in silence.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We don't have anything else to say.
If there's anything interesting, we'll just record it on our phones,
right?
And you know, somehow make some money off of it.
Probably not. But
probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I'll save it for when it's monetized.
That's the only thing it's really good for.
That's
right?
The only reason why I'm
doing
this.
The only reason you're doing it. I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you too. Big time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Ian, for being on the show. Thank you for being my friend, for being so generous. Thank you for being so talented. Folks, go to BuehlerDesign.com. That's B-U-H-L-E-R design.com. Check out some of the designs Ian and his brother have done. Truly astounding. Hire these guys to do some work for you. These are the kind of people you want working for your business, for your passion. They are talented. They are reasonable. They will not disappoint. You know who else won't disappoint? Our sponsor, Crooked Path Forge. Check out some of the work Jordan Borstelman has done at crookedpathforge.org. Buy yourself a blade. Buy yourself a hatchet. Get signed up for a workshop. Make your own hatchet. Make your own knife. Okay? You're going to have a blast. You're going to love it. You're going to cherish whatever you buy from Crooked Path Forge. Also, you can use promo code FINDAHAMMER for 10% off your purchase. Okay? Go there. Do it. You won't be disappointed. You'll thank me later. In the meantime, thank you, listener. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting this podcast. It means the world to me. Please come back. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Come back next time and be well. Thanks very much. I love you.